He's coming. He's trying. Now you do. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Now Titus was wondering, now what in the world does he want? Why is he making me do this? You ever thought about that when the Spirit of God's moving on you? Well, why in the world would God want me to do that? Why do I need to do this? Was that going through your mind? Yeah, I knew. Yeah, see? Yeah, because that's how we are with the Spirit of God. Spirit of God begins to move. We start asking questions. But see, he overrode his questions and he moved in obedience. Wow. I challenge you to do that this morning. As the Spirit of God begins to move on you, I challenge you to override your questions and just move. Just move. Hallelujah. Just worship. Might be right in the middle of the preaching. Hallelujah. That won't bother me a bit. For you to jump up, start speaking in tongues, I'd be rejoicing with you. Amen. I'd stop preaching and I'd start preaching and I'd start worshiping with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait till the altar call. When the Spirit of God quickens. Do you remember the house of Cornelius and Peter? I mean, you know, he had a 3-point, 5-point sermon. Peter probably had a 10-point sermon. I mean, you know, he started sharing Jesus Christ, him crucified, and for the sins of the world. And while he was yet preaching, the Spirit of God fell and filled those believers. Wow. Because they believed what he said. And they were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost right in the middle of the preaching. Praise God. So, you don't have to wait to the end. Hallelujah. If the Spirit of God begins to stir your soul, jump up, be obedient. Praise be to our God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 8. God's Word is so wonderful. It is just so wonderful. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 8 through 10 is what I want to begin with here this morning. I so appreciate what everybody had to say this morning in our celebrating of Angie's life this morning. Truly she did. She challenged us. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 8. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out to the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Hallelujah. You can be seated again this morning. Don't you want to be considered the people of God? The people of God. This is a promise to the children of Israel. This is something that the writer of Hebrews, which I believe was Paul, is reminding them about, of what God said was coming. And the reason he's reminding them about it, because he's expounding to them, this promise has come. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. You know, that's why we have our separation in our Bibles. The New Testament, the Old Testament. The Old Covenant, the New Covenant. Testament and covenant basically mean the same thing. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20, it says, now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I want you to understand, do you realize this morning your salvation is also a covenant with God? A relationship with God. An agreement with God. Hallelujah. It's not just God always doing. It's a covenant of God doing His promises and then we responding to those promises with our commitment to be obedient to His commands. Woo, praise God. That's the covenant of salvation. We've got so much going on today that's called salvation, but it's not really salvation because they're not entering into a covenant with God. We talk about it's a relationship. It's all about a relationship. Why? Because a relationship is double-fold. It's God's part. It's our part. It's a relationship of being honest with ourselves, honest with God. It's a relationship of listening to God because He knows best. It's a relationship of hearing God and adjusting. Adjusting. You see, I think I made mention of this Thursday night. It's not a matter of God coming down and making me do something. It's a covenant. Covenants require response to the covenant. Hallelujah. It's God coming down, making Himself known, revealing Himself, and then me rising to meet Him in worship and in praise and in obedience to fulfill the covenant of the newness of life that He's put in me. See, there's a kicker there. That God gave. He said, I'm going to put it in their minds. I'm going to put it in their hearts. And then the Bible goes on to expound that it's a new creature created after Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. See, in other words, as we enter into this covenant, God's doing the greater side of the covenant. God's provided the sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that our sins, our past sins, can be washed away, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Newness of life be put inside of us. And this is not the baptism in the Holy Ghost. This is just that new creature. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is what takes this new creature and makes him Superman, if you will. I'm not saying you're a super Christian just because you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, but it is like a supercharged car. Woo! Now, one point in time, I drove a little Pontiac Vibe. Had a 1.8 liter four-cylinder engine in it, and the only way you drove it was with your foot in the floor. And then you finally achieved your speed. I'll be coming off east-west 350, coming up that little bit of a hill on Highway 28. And anybody that's been out to my house or Jason's house, you know, you come off that little Y there, and you're climbing that little hill, and you come off that little Y, and you just floor it. And by the time you get to the top of that little hill, which is about a quarter of a mile, you might have reached 55 miles an hour. But I can roll up my garage door, step into a 2002 three-quarter ton Duramax diesel supercharged truck. And I can back it out the driveway and I can come to that same spot in the road and I can floor it. And I'm at the top of that hill before I can count to two. What's the difference? More horsepower and turbocharged. Woo! Praise God. So God gives us the advantage of keeping this covenant. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. We need some folks that are turbocharged. Hallelujah. Not just excited. Not just excited. Turbocharged. Hallelujah. So ready to do what God wants done. So ready to be obedient to God. So ready to accomplish the impossible. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. Turbocharged. Hallelujah. Not talking about just getting excited and wanting to run and wanting to preach. And, oh, I am so excited, on fire for God. I don't get anything done. You're on fire for God, you're ready to find a toilet to clean. If you're on fire for God, you're ready to find trash to pick up. If you're on fire for God, you're ready to sweep the sanctuary. If you're on fire for God, you're ready to witness to a soul. If you're on fire for God, you don't want to put your eyes on anything ungodly or unclean. If you're on fire for God, you're living holy. Hallelujah. You're living righteous. You're living pure. And you want to do more than you've ever done for the kingdom of God. If you're on fire for God, yeah, you will be excited. But it's not mere excitement. It's not mere zeal. Remember, it's on the calendar. Child of God is expected to do the impossible. That's why we need turbocharged. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. That's, hallelujah, why God's provided the cleansing, the newness, and the power in this new covenant. Hallelujah. You realize the only part we have to provide is willingness. That's the only part we have to provide. Willingness to comply, to respond, to react, to submit. Praise our God. This covenant, God's serious about this covenant. He was serious about the former covenant. Here's a few scriptures that show us the seriousness of God about His covenant. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample or example unto those that after should live ungodly. God's serious about His covenant. He's provided the way of escape. He's provided the way of godliness. He's provided the way of righteousness. He's provided the way of holiness. But those that would not keep the covenant, He judged. That's why we say America's ripe for judgment. You go look, you start reading about what was going on in the days of Noah. And you look at the news, and you see what was going on in the days of Noah. You read about what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, and how God went in there with two angels to bring Lot out, and his wife didn't make it, and had to drag his daughters out. You know, come on. You don't think the world can destroy? You don't think love for the world is a serious thing? It cost Lot's wife her life, turned into a pillar of salt. Here God was moving by grace and mercy, trying to bring them out of this cesspool of sin. And all you got to do is turn on the news, and what do you see? You see the cesspool of sin that God judged at Sodom and Gomorrah to set an example of this is what God's going to do to this type of living. Woo, man, we're going to get knocked off Facebook again. Praise God. Woo. My. I mean, that's pretty plain, in my opinion, of the judgment of God, because they don't want that covenant with God. They don't even want to retain God in their knowledge. That's a sign of the last days, you know. In Romans chapter 11, verse number 20, it says, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. The seriousness of God about His new covenant. Hallelujah. We've taken the grace of God and we have stretched it to of ungodliness. And the grace of God was never intended to permit sin anywhere in anybody's, and especially a believer's life. God's new covenant is a life of righteousness, a life of holiness, a life of goodness, a life of preferring others before thyself, a life of bearing one another's burden. Are you getting the picture? A life of love, a life of faith, a life of goodness, that fruit of the Spirit, that's part of the new covenant. Hallelujah. But if we will not continue in thereof, there may come a cutting off. You see, you don't hear that much anymore. It's just like anything goes. Well, God loves me, and he's dealing with me. And as long as he's dealing with me, I feel like I'm okay. No, you're not okay if God's dealing with you. If God's dealing with you, you haven't obeyed yet. Yeah, it is God's grace that he's dealing with you, because he don't have to do it anymore. He could cut you off at any moment and be a just, faithful God. But because of his grace, because of the prayers of the saints, God then lets grace abound and keeps speaking, keeps dealing, keeps talking. But God's serious about this covenant, because, I mean, really, if you stop and you start putting your apples together and everything that God's provided and everything that God desires to do and the potential that we have, and hallelujah, and you find out, really, we are without excuse if we do not follow God, submit to God, and do God's will in our lives. We are without excuse. Because he has provided everything I need, except he will not override my will. All I have to do is choose Christ. Choose Christ. Choose Christ. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Here's what he speaks. He speaks his word. Not every man that claims to be a prophet's a prophet. Not every prophecy is God's word. Most of it anymore is garbage. Just man trying to make a name for man and trying to look like he's spiritual. And you would be surprised at some of the most silly things that are prophesied. I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost speaks through his word. And then the Holy Ghost grips your heart with that word. And you realize down deep inside you are not doing that word. That's God speaking to you. You don't need someone prophesying over you. You need someone sharing truth with you. God's word is what's going to keep me alive in Jesus Christ. God's word, quickened by the Spirit of God, is what's going to transform my life. Woo, hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And so he says, how are we going to escape if we won't listen to the word of God quickened by the Spirit of God? There will be no escape. Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So here's the stipulation of the covenant. God says, I am going to provide. I have provided. I am going to give it and work it in you if you will keep your side of the covenant. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalms 103:17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. So here's the stipulation. Who's going to be in heaven? And here's the title of my message. The Covenant Keepers. The Covenant Keepers. That's who's going to be in heaven. From the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. It's going to be the covenant keepers. That's who's going to make it to heaven. Hallelujah. You see, a double-minded man is not going to make it. A double-minded woman is not going to make it. What is double-mindedness? Double-mindedness, you haven't committed your ways unto the Lord yet. Double-mindedness is when you're in the house of God or with the church people, you're committed. But when you're with the worldly crowd and the ungodly crowd, you're committed. That means you act like they do when you're around them and act like the others when you're around them. That's a double-minded man. It's not committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a double-minded woman not committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not covenant keepers. They're not going to make it. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. Oh, wow. You see, the Bible is full of serious covenant keepers. That's why we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. But the Old Testament is definitely full, hallelujah, of serious covenant keepers. Abraham, there's another one. It was counted unto him righteousness because of his faith in God. He didn't always make right decisions as he was growing in this faith. But yet when God called him out, kind of like what I did for Titus a while ago, when God called him out, he came out. Hallelujah. When God began to show him and direct him of what he needed to do, he began to do that. Hallelujah. God gave him a promise of a son. Abraham tried to outrun God. Actually, Sarah tried to outrun God. And you know, they just tried to make something happen instead of waiting on God. That's a whole other message we could preach for an hour or two. Praise God. They were serious covenant keepers, though. They held out to the end. They adjusted when God told them to adjust. When God reminded them, this was not my plan nor my way, but I will bear with that. And he did. There's promises even to that offspring. But my promise was in Isaac. Hallelujah. And so we see then Abraham and Sarah were serious covenant keepers. Moses. I mean, he's another. Moses started out trying to do God's will in his own wisdom, his own strength, and his own power. He just didn't know any better yet. And then because of what he tried to do, it brought him to the point where he had to flee. And then he just wanted to give up. Yeah, you're not the first one that's ever wanted to give up. You know, after Moses put his display of what he thought he needed to do for God and it didn't work the way he thought it ought to work, he wanted to just give up. Yeah, you're going to learn from your mistakes. Hallelujah. And Moses didn't realize that, and it took him 40 years before he could actually come to the place where God could then say, I am. Woo! And God said, this is what I want you to do. He still tried to argue. But God said, you're the man. You're going. And he became that serious covenant keeper. Actually, he's the one that brought that Old Testament covenant of the law alive to the children of Israel. Another covenant keeper was Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And the list could go on and on and on. David was a serious covenant keeper. Job was a serious covenant keeper. All through the Old Testament scriptures, we find the testimonies and the lives of serious covenant keepers. You even move up to the New Testament, just changing, transitioning a little bit out of the old into the new, and you find some serious covenant keepers were Joseph and Mary. Yeah. Zechariah and Elizabeth. Those in the temple waiting for the Messiah to come. Those wise men. Woo! So there's always been serious covenant keepers. And you can go read Hebrews chapter 11 and the heroes of faith. What, they're the covenant keepers. They were serious about serving the Almighty God. And they served Him according to His revealed knowledge of that day. Covenant keepers. Acts 27:23. Here we find the Apostle Paul. And there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Paul was a serious covenant keeper. Started out serious covenant keeper of the old covenant. Met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and became a serious covenant keeper of the new covenant. Praise be to our God. Hebrews 12:4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Praise the Lord. Seriousness. Seriousness. How much have you resisted striving against sin? Have you went all the way to death not to sin? Would you rather die than sin? That's what that's a reference to. Talking about commitment. Psalms 37:5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Praise God. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Praise God. Sun's real bright right at noon, isn't it? Praise God. Commit your ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He'll bring it to pass, and he'll work in your life until your light shines so bright, folks will want to have what you have. Praise God. This is just promises of God. This is about the new covenant. We must commit. Literally. Commit means literally to send to or upon, to throw or to put or lay upon. Hence, to give in trust, to put into the hands or power of another, to entrust with. Committed to the Lord means I put my life in his hands. I put my life in his hands, in his control. Praise God. Commit. Commit. I'm going to close with this. How many's ever heard of Frances Jane Van Eysman? Eysteinn. Maybe you've heard her other name, Fanny Crosby. Praise God. Fanny Crosby was born March 24th, 1820, and passed February 12th, 1915. She was an American mission worker, poet, wrote songs, composed music. She was a prolific hymnist, writing more than 8,000 hymns and gospel songs, with more than 10 million copies printed. She's also known for her teaching and her rescue mission work. By the end of the 19th century, she was a household name. Crosby was known as the queen of gospel songwriters and as the mother of modern congregational singing in America, with most American hymnals containing her work. Her gospel songs were paradigmic of all revival music. In other words, it was a change, a transition. Ira Sankey attributed the success of the Moody and Sankey evangelical campaigns largely to Crosby's hymns. Ira Sankey was the one who led the song service before D.L. Moody would preach. And he would use Fanny Crosby's songs. Hallelujah. Some of Crosby's best known songs include Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is tenderly calling you home. Praise him, rescue the perishing. To God be the glory. Some publishers were hesitant to have so many hymns by one person in their hymnal, so Crosby used nearly 200 different pseudos during her career. So that means she probably even wrote more songs than what they have record of for Fanny Crosby. Crosby also wrote more than 1,000 secular poems, had 4 books of poetry published, as well as 2 best-selling autobiographies. Additionally, she co-wrote popular secular songs, as well as political and patriotic songs, at least 5 cantatas on biblical and patriotic themes, including The Flower Queen, the first secular cantata by American composers. She was committed to the Christian rescue mission and was known for her public speaking.
Wow. Talking about committed.
Oh, did I tell you Fanny Crosby was blind?
Wow.
But it's evident Fanny Crosby was committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. Because though she suffered and became blind, she wasn't born blind. It was a sickness that brought it. But that didn't stop her from serving her Savior wholeheartedly. She took what she had, and this is where I'm going. Engraved on Fanny Crosby's tombstone at Bridgeport, Connecticut, are these significant words taken from our Lord's remarks to Mary, the sister of Lazarus, after she had anointed him with costly perfume. On her tombstone it reads, "She hath done what she could." How about you? Are you doing what you can for the King? That's all he asks. Just do what you can. Give yourself to him. Hallelujah. Become that covenant keeper. And God can take your life just like he did Fanny Crosby's, and use it. That's all he needs. He needs that committed, serious covenant keeper. And he will take that life and use it for his glory. Would you stand? Sister Lindsay, Sister Pepper, one of you come back to the piano this morning. Covenant keepers. Serious covenant keepers. Hallelujah. After all we have experienced already this Lord's Day, of the reality of how joy can affect somebody's life. That challenges me. Sometimes I ain't feeling the joy. Praise God. I know I always talk to my students. I love my students. The students, sometimes I ain't feeling the joy when I'm reassigning that piece of work that should have been done the first try. I ain't feeling the joy then. When I click on those questions and I go to the lesson and I see it in the second paragraph is the perfect answer. And I click on the next one that's not answered correctly and I go back to the lesson and just like 3 sentences later, that question's answered. And I'm thinking, maybe their finger don't work the mouse like mine does. And sometimes I'm losing my joy. Because that's not joyful. But then I realize, that's why I'm here. To show them my joy. And so I happily click reassign. I happily reassign that piece of work. Every now and then I've got to pull one of them aside and remind him, you realize if I reassign this, you had the wrong answer. And if I've reassigned it 3 times, you got to realize then that's not the answer. And you've got to change it. And then I think about the Spirit of God. How he deals with us. He said, I've dealt with you about this before. And that's still the wrong behavior. And I guess you know if I'm still dealing with you about it, your behavior is still wrong. You've got to do it different. It's amazing how things correlate into the spiritual realm. Turbocharged. The child of God, committed to the covenant, full of the Holy Ghost, pressing towards the prize. High calling of our God. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. 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 Praise His holy name. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands right there where you're standing this morning. Let's lift our hands to the King. Let's honor the King. Let's lift our voice. Let's lift our hearts. And let's allow Him to renew our minds this morning. Father in heaven, we rejoice. God, in this new covenant.